What if I told you that the key to reducing stress and living a more fulfilled life wasn't working harder, but simply doing more of what you love? Hi, everyone. My name is Amanda Lee, and I'm a graduate student therapist currently taking the next steps to become a licensed mental health counselor. And welcome to the Reflection Room. So today I really wanted to talk about how hobbies can improve your mental health. And I think that once I started incorporating hobbies in my life, I noticed a really big difference in my mental health, specifically in a reduction of stress and anxiety. But yeah, just wanted to talk about that today. So stick around. I kind of want to talk about three aspects to hobbies that are very important in improving our mental health. The first one I want to talk about is savoring the moment. The second one I'm going to talk about is the flow state and kind of what that looks like with hobbies. And the third one is going to be how we can romanticize our life through these hobbies. So savoring the moment, the presence of the here and now, what that looks like with hobbies. So there are multiple hobbies out there that can include reading, music, art, dancing, sports. There's so many, you name it, coloring, drawing, just keep on going, right? And whatever you find that you enjoy the most and your interests can really be important in your life. And everyone has different types of hobbies, and that's wonderful. I think everyone should have multiple hobbies too, not just one. So savoring the moment and being in the here and now and how hobbies can help us slow down. These are all important aspects to hobbies that and why they help with mental health. There are multiple hobbies out there, but there are some that really encourage mindfulness that are really important and can help with the mental health. So those could include dancing, cooking, art, yoga, like this emphasis on mindfulness and getting into the state of being fully immersed in the hobby. Coloring, painting is a good one. Yeah, there's tons out there and everyone should have a mix of hobbies and stuff like that, but finding what you're most interested in and most passionate about is ultimately the most important step. And from there, we can work on savoring the moment of it. So say for painting, say that you enjoy painting, or that's just an example. Getting in that moment and really savoring where you are, savoring the color, savoring the moment when you're using the paintbrush, things like that. It can bring a sense of peace across us, and it is considered a form of mindfulness as well. Now, another one that has arose recently in the past couple of years is like baking, specifically bread too. That's another good example of how slowing down can improve our mental health simply through these acts of doing an activity or something that we really enjoy. So as we know from neuroscience, slowing down in terms of our nervous system and slowing our nervous system down and nervous system regulation can really help decrease that stress and anxiety that I was talking about earlier. And when we take those seconds and moments to savor, just like we would with mindfulness or meditation, the research shows that it's a very similar aspect. But there's another little caveat to engaging in hobbies that you're passionate about that is a little different than mindfulness or meditation, and this is called the flow state. It's basically the science of deep enjoyment. And this term was coined in the 1960s by a Hungarian-American psychologist whose name will go here because I cannot pronounce it. And he coined this term, basically found that people, specifically artists, people who play sports, things like that, enter into these flow states and how it improves our mental health. This is actually a part of positive psychology, which is a branch of psychology that was developed about 20 years ago, or it's always been around, but officially around 20 years ago, if that makes sense. So this flow state particularly is important for hobbies that engage challenge and skill within them. And it's important to be in that balance of challenge and skill. So pushing yourself outside of your own box a little bit. But have you ever done something, say, for example, like painting, like we talked about earlier, or cooking or dancing or whatever the hobbies are that you have, and you've been so immersed in it that you've lost track of time? You're like, oh my gosh, I've been doing this for X amount of hours, but I really only thought it was a couple minutes, where it almost becomes autopilot of you doing it, if that makes sense, where everything just feels natural, where there's not a lot of like conscious thought about what you're doing, about the task that you're engaging in. This is a really cool state to be in, and it's called the flow state, and it's hard to achieve. It's like a step further than mindfulness, because mindfulness takes you take a second and you really observe your thoughts and you realize that you are not your thoughts and you are observing it from above kind of thing. But the flow state is a very like ingrained and engaged concept. A perfect example of this would be like playing an instrument. Say someone's like playing the piano and they get so much into it, they stop thinking about the next key or the next thing that they're doing. And it just happens naturally and it literally flows out of them. That's a perfect example of what this state is. And finding these types of hobbies in your life where you can get into these flow states can ultimately really help with your mental health and decrease symptoms of depression and anxiety and stress and kind of increase feeling better and having a better sense of purpose and well-being and happiness and things like that. So these flow states, the science behind it is that it actually increases our dopamine and our serotonin. And with the increase of dopamine and serotonin, it also boosts our mood and our focus, which kind of like trickles into our life after the flow state. So flow not only reduces stress and anxiety, like I talked about, but it also increases creativity and self-confidence and can increase that self-esteem. And lastly, I wanted to talk about this concept of romanticizing your life. I've seen this a lot on TikTok recently, and it's this concept of taking the mundane or the normal or the ordinary and making it a little bit more romantic and romanticizing and back to this concept of savoring the moment a little bit more. Say your morning coffee, maybe putting on some music when you do it or opening the windows or savoring it and romanticizing your life with it. Say, for example, you're watching TV and you're watching it with your partner, but maybe romanticizing it in a way where maybe you put some candles on or maybe you put some mood lighting on or something like that to make these ordinary things feel a little bit more magical. Another example I love is immersive reading. So say you're like a really good reader, really avid reader, and making it a little bit more romantic. So maybe you put on a candle, maybe you make a tea, maybe you put on some music, something like that, where it takes like the ordinary hobby of reading and kind of enhances it just a little bit more, which ultimately could be putting yourself in a flow state as well. When we take these concepts of savoring and the flow state and romanticizing and put it all together, can really increase our mental health. And then lastly, as someone who operates from a narrative lens, a narrative therapeutic approach with my clients, just love the idea of incorporating these hobbies into your life, like adding more to your life that, you know, you're not just what you do for work or you're not just who you show up as in life or your roles in life, but there's also so many aspects and passions and interests of you and about yourself that are also included in that. And they can really shape your outlook on life and, you know, your story. Another little important part about the flow state is that it's important to be doing it for joy and not for some type of external reward. And this doesn't mean that it can't happen if there's an external reward, say for like someone who plays sports or gets paid to sing or something like that. But what makes it a flow state isn't the outcome, but it is more the process and the journey of actually really just connecting with that activity, fully immersing yourself in it, losing that kind of self-consciousness and losing track of time and just feeling fully engaged in that activity. So psychologists believe that experiencing these types of flow and experiencing these hobbies more regularly can lead to a more meaningful and fulfilling life. So when we engage in activities that help us feel fully present, we naturally reduce stress, boost our happiness, and feel more connected to our passions. So flow is one of the purest forms of happiness, and there are multiple ways that you can cultivate and bring this into your life a bit more. So try experimenting with new hobbies or things or trying to figure out what you're good at or talented at, and then you can set aside time that gives you enough time to really fall into these flow states. And then focusing on progress and not perfection. And just remembering that flow isn't about productivity. It's more about finding the joy in the moment, what excites you, what brings out that happiness in you, and not just like really the outcome of it. I really enjoyed talking about this topic today. If you have any comments or any thoughts, please drop them down below and keep on reflecting.